In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. If you've had a chance to read our December newsletter, you may have seen a reprinted article from the writer Ronald Klug called Why I'm an Advent Christian. He says that in his experience among Christians, different people identify more fully with different moments in the liturgical year and different moments in the life of Christ. He says that some people are Christmas Christians. To them, the most important thing about their faith is believing that God became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He says their favorite hymn is Joy to the World. Others he calls Lenten Christians because their faith revolves around sin and guilt and forgiveness. Their primary symbol is the cross. Still others he would call Pentecost Christians, people who have a very keen interest and sense of the Holy Spirit at work in the world, the gift of God's eternal energy and power working among us, healing and correcting and renewing and guiding us. In this article, Klug then goes on to identify himself as an Advent Christian. Advent Christians, he says, have yet another way of seeing and experiencing their faith. They believe and celebrate that Christ came, but their symbolic hymn is still, O come, Emmanuel. In other words, Advent Christians live between the already and the not yet. They believe that in Christ, the reign of God has already begun, it's dawned, but we still have to eagerly pray, Thy kingdom come, because we all long for a world that is still to come. And Advent Christians, that's how they live all the time. Longing for a world where children are not proscripted as soldiers in Darfur or sold as sex slaves in India. A world where our broken relationships with ex-friends and ex-spouses are restored. Where disordered priorities have come back into symmetry with God's priorities. A world that knows real peace because it knows its true home in God. Advent Christians experience exile, longing, watching, waiting. These are the experiences of Israel in its first advent as they awaited the birth of the Messiah. And these are the experiences with which Advent Christians resonate the most, as we now long for really the fullness and the completion of what it is that God began in a little manger in Bethlehem just over 2,000 years ago. I appreciate Ronald Klug's breakdown of these different kinds of Christians, not because I think they are actually real divisions among us. The fact is we're all Christmas Christians and we're all Lenten Christians and Easter Christians and Pentecost Christians. But it seems that various Christian traditions and individuals within them do tend to emphasize different facets of the story of our faith. And by emphasizing them, they polish those facets and make them really shine. Pentecostals, for example, are really make shine the gift of the Holy Spirit. Evangelicals really focus on the reality of sin and our guilt and the forgiveness that comes by God's grace. That's the upside of the distinctions among our traditions and those of us who focus differently in different places. The downside only comes when we disparage each other for being who we are. So whether or not you are a year-round Advent Christian, or whether you identify in some other way, now is the time, now is the season to hear from those who are, and to let their experience open up another facet of your faith. Advent Christians identify with the stories of the prophets, like Isaiah, who hundreds of years before Jesus spoke to a people who had been forcibly removed from their homes and sent into foreign exile by the Babylonians. He spoke to them, telling them, "Comfort, comfort ye my people. God has not abandoned you. Lift up your heads. Get up to a high mountain and look out. From there you will see the sun is beginning to rise." Advent Christians identify with Mary. They ponder the words of the angel Gabriel and what they mean, that she could become the bearer of God's blessing to the world. Advent Christians ponder how we might become bearers of God's blessing to the world. Advent Christians identify with Zechariah and Elizabeth, whose song we sang as we came in procession this morning. A couple in their elder years who were awaiting the birth of a child, who were blessed to know that after years of understanding themselves to be barren, that God was doing a new thing among them. Advent Christians, like all of those who have gone before us, are waiting on the promises of God. They have not given up. And they remind us, again, that it is no accident that is where our liturgical year always begins. Beginning the liturgical year with the first Sunday of Advent is a way of saying that the Christian story begins with longing. It starts there. And yet, Advent Christians are not passive. And there is a paradox for us. We are waiting and longing and hoping, but we are not passive. John the Baptist is born of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and as he enters that quiet waiting of that first Advent, we begin to see that we have a role in preparing the way for God's reign in this world. And what he tells us is that that role begins when we take an honest look within and around at the world around us, and we take stock of how far we have to go to reach the dream of God, the not yet that is yet before us. John the Baptist has this way of stirring things up and never letting us just sit where we are with all his locusts and wild honey. He's a provoker. He wants to make change. My mother would probably say that I am an Advent Christian, in part because she always used to tell me that I never could just let things be the way they were. And you know this about me, you've lived with me long enough, I've always got to mess with something, right? And it's true. Advent Christians can't leave well enough alone because we believe that things can always be better. As Ronald Klug says in his brilliant little article, you may want to go read it again if you haven't looked at it. He says, "A critic of Christianity once said, 'I would find it easier to believe in your Redeemer if his followers looked more redeemed.'" Our longing in Advent is that what is true for us by faith may become true in our experience, that we can become better. Our world can become better. We believe Jesus when he said, I am with you always to the end of the age. But very often, we experience a sense of God's absence. And so in Advent and throughout the year, Advent Christians are the ones who lead us in remaining thirsty for God. We know our sins are forgiven, but we want more. We want to become holy. We want our world to become holy. And John the Baptist shows us that the way to that holiness, that pursuit of holiness, begins by looking within. It first requires us, as the Advent lessons from the first Sunday, from last week, remind us, that we have to wake up. We have to not be satisfied with the world as it is. We have to wake up to the promise that is always before us and the fact that we are not yet there. And sometimes that requires us to be quiet. How often, we don't hear or dream big so often because we're distracted by all of the little details and demands of our lives. We settle for that being our life, as opposed to allowing ourselves, maybe we need, as he suggests in his article, to fast from the constant barrage of media, from our BlackBerry going at the same time as we're doing an email, at the same time we're listening to CNN. I know I'm guilty of that noise. We have to sometimes take a step back, be quiet. Whether it's coming to a Taizé service, whether it's going to a quiet day like we have on Wednesday morning this week, or whether it's just devoting 5 minutes to prayer each day of Advent and trying to quiet our minds so that we can wake up and remember that dream that is before us. The second thing that John the Baptist reminds us is that we have to repent. Now, we don't like that word very much because it makes us feel bad and guilty. But repentance is not just about seeing how we don't measure up and wallowing in it. It's not about that at all. Repentance is about taking stock, recognizing and seeing how we fall short, and then the actual word repentance means to turn. It's about seeing that and turning to the rising sun and walking toward it. That is what Advent is about. And so let's get ourselves up to a high mountain. Let's sit down and turn off the TV for a few minutes and get quiet and see if we can't see what's rising to the east. Let it come quickly. Amen.